Good morning. This is Dave, Linda.
Linda, how are you?
And we're happy to be here with you this morning. We have a topic that I titled Stay in Your Lane. And I've been thinking about this during the week, and God gave me some more ideas this morning about how to explain what this is. And Linda and I talked about it. And we, of course, as usual, we're both coming at it from different places because we're different people.
That's right.
But that's okay. That's the whole point. And we hope you get something out of it. I feel pretty sure we're going to get something out of it. So what do I mean by stay in your lane? My definition of it is find out by prayer and meditation and serious thought, what is it that you want to do? And for us, as Christians, we're always saying to the Lord, what do you want to do? And listening and trying to stay on track with that. And it's so easy with so many things going on in our lives and other things that look good, you know, to get distracted. So we're going to use our own situations as illustrations. And I thought this morning, here's a good one from my own life. I was living in Connecticut and pretty happy, but I had been visiting a church and friends in Selma, Alabama. I had my mom and dad were living with me at that time, and I began to feel like I wanted to get them back at least somewhere in the southeast so they could see my other two brothers and grandkids and other family members and just get them back where they can get in touch with the rest of the family. And then in my visits to Selma and the church there, I felt like I wanted to be a part of that church. And I just felt like that was where I was supposed to go. And so I started looking at ways to get there, and which meant changing jobs. And so I found one employer who would allow me to work remotely. And it was a good situation with a reasonable salary and so on and so on. But in my searching, what happened was I also got an offer from the CDC in Atlanta, which is a pretty big deal, you know, CDC. Then I had an offer to work with the VA in Tampa, Florida. You know, and both of them were like 30% more money than I would make if I took the job that allowed me to move to Selma. So I called my spiritual mentor and talked to him about it, and he asked me this question, and I'll never forget it because it's a real lesson in stay in your lane. And he said, and he was trying to be fair and not just tell me what he wanted me to do, which would be move to Selma and be part of his church. But he just said to me, Dave, I thought what you wanted to do was move to Selma and be part of our church community, involved in our ministries, and those things. And I thought, oh, yeah, that was the primary goal. And money shouldn't change that goal. And so I ended up deciding that I would rather take less money and be where I felt like God wanted me to be. And I've never regretted that decision because I learned so much in that environment spiritually. And I did get to be a part of the ministries of the church. And I was ministered to in that church. And my parents were happy. My brothers got to come visit us. You know, all the plan the Lord had for us was really good. But it would have been very easy to pick the money and the prestige and the titles. But I stayed in my lane. And I'm proud of that. And it was a lesson learned. Linda, what do you think about when I say stay in your lane?
You know, stay in your lane to me means mind your own business, kind of, or stay focused on what it is you want to do, pretty either one of those. Sometimes staying in your own lane is just really like being focused on what, don't forget your focus on what it is you're supposed to accomplish. And kind of like in that story you were talking about, that being focused on what it is your goal and purpose is, or what it is that God has the goal and purpose for you. So if you stay in your lane and stay focused, it helps you to be able to, and I kind of intuitively, I feel like God has always been a purpose-driven, kind of very focused person on certain things. And I feel like when you stay in your lane, it's like you're focused on what it is God called you to do, whether that be a mom taking care of children, or whether that has, you know, whatever God has called you to be. That if you stay in your lane, if you stay focused on what it is God called you to do, it will help you answer questions. Because, like, if you're a mom and your goal right now is to get your children to another level, to raise your kids, then maybe staying in your lane right now is taking care of those children until they grow up, and then maybe going on to doing things that you want to do at a later time. Sometimes that's not always gratifying. Or maybe, you know, helping small children to a certain level till they get in school, and then you, at that point, can kind of do some things that you may have always wanted to do. So staying in your own lane really helps you to kind of focus in on what it is that your purpose is and how you need to do it and how you need to accomplish it. And I think that was a good point, that it's not always about money or title. Sometimes I feel like even staying in your lane is not to be so ego-driven. We are such an ego-driven society that, you know, sometimes we lose focus on who we are, even as Christians. Stay in your lane. Well, Christian is loving, kind, compassionate, you know, those kind of things. And so when you stay in your lane, when you stay in your lane to be like Christ, then that helps you focus, that you wouldn't be this selfish, egotistical, da-da-da-da-da purpose, that you're focused on being Christ-like.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, I love the way the Lord works with me. Let's just, I'll own this about topics for this show. Is, you know, once I came to this topic and chose it, then God started showing me where I'm not staying in my lane. And one of those things is my ego and how often I'm looking for validation from others when the validation is from God. In other words, I'm waiting for somebody to say, oh, good job, or agree that the step I've taken works. And let's be honest, a lot of times it's from you. I want you to be as excited about something as I am. When the truth is that's not, you know, that's really not a factor. It is and it isn't. Obviously, we want to stay on the same page business-wise. But if I'm called to do my part of the business, you don't have to be excited about it. You shouldn't have to pat me on the back and tell me what a good job I've done.
I think those things are nice, and I just feel like, I feel like they're good, and we're all, a certain part of us, I think, as Christians and in our lane, is that, you know, some people, I don't feel like the devil is always the culprit sometimes. I think it's our own self that is the culprit sometimes. And so, and not that making anything the culprit, but it's just being aware, staying in your lane, if we're talking about as a Christian, staying in our lane would be not to be so, we all are ego-driven, but to be aware of that. So when those instances pop up,
you're going, no,
that's not my lane. I don't have to do that. I don't have to choose that, you know, so that you're aware of it.
A person
right
to tell me I'm where I'm supposed to be. That message should come from the Lord. And even if someone is telling you you're not where you're supposed to be, if you're convinced, if you've prayed about it, if you've meditated, and you know that the Lord is called, drawing you to a specific ministry, a specific purpose, your preparation for that purpose. And you've got a great, I'm going to lead you into something here in a minute, because you've got a great example. You stick with it. You stick with it. And it kind of goes back to a podcast we had probably a couple months ago about not being involved in the consequences, to not measure your success as the world measures your success. You know, sometimes it looks like you're not making any progress, but stick with it. You know, because if God's called you, stay with it. You know, and don't let the world tell you you're failing or succeeding. You know, base your success on whether you're pleasing God with your activity and your focus.
And I think a lot of times when you're called to, God has called you to a specific purpose, you have to realize that a lot of times other people may not agree because they're not called to that purpose.
Exactly.
So it's like one of those things of sharing your vision. You have to protect the vision God has given you, and sometimes you can't share it with everybody.
Thank you. That, you know, when that, and I have a tendency, I want to share my vision with everybody, and it's an ego thing. And that's another one of those things the Lord said to me, why do you care what this person thinks? Oh, yeah. Well, because I want them to pat me on the back and think I'm great. That's why, you know. But I just realized that we have a perfect example in you. You worked to get your bachelor's of nursing. Now, I'm guessing when your bachelor's of nursing, probably everybody was going, hey, good thing, great for you. Then you worked for your master's in clinical counseling. I bet you had a lot of people going, why? Why are you working, you know, and giving up time with your family, et cetera, right?
Well, and at that time it was, you know, I did have
sacrifice.
That. It was a sacrifice. If people were like, you got a good job.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Why are you kind of, because I was spending long hours, sometimes only getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep. My daughters were in college also at the same time.
So I've got a feeling, and I think you've expressed this to me, that you had quite a few people going, why? What?
Yeah.
You know? Then, on top of that, you decided to get a master's in divinity, and I bet you heard even more.
Well, it was a dual master's program.
Oh,
so
okay.
They were together, and it was a very difficult program. So it was people like, why
and
are you doing that?
Look at today and where you are and the fact that you, and I'm, of course I'm prejudiced, are the most qualified person I can find for what you do, both as a hospice nurse, you know, because you bring that clinical counseling and that divinity experience to that arena. Then you also bring that to your coaching, and now you're bringing those same things to our end of life doula ministry. Those were all, God had a plan. And you set your face, I like the way the Bible says, you know, like Paul set his face, which means he committed. You committed to that, not really knowing what you were going to get out of it, other than you wanted to do it and you felt like God was calling you to get that, to put those pieces in your arsenal.
Well, it, I have to be honest, I knew that I wanted to do coaching and counseling, but I didn't know how that was going to look. I knew I wanted to have a ministry, and I felt like I had the wrong vision at that time. Maybe not. I felt like it was a ministry as far as me being in my own church or being a co-pastor or something in a church. I didn't really, it was that, but I feel like now, as time has passed and I look back on it, I know God has called me to one-on-one ministry. But at that time, I didn't know it. So it was sort of like a focus. I feel like I need these tools to, you know, move on to the next level. But, yeah, and at the time, you know, I was in my 40s. I wasn't 30 or something.
Yeah, you weren't.
No, I was not a spring chicken. And so it was, you know, family members, good meaning family members, like, why are you putting yourself through this?
Oh, they mean well.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was, and friends, Yeah.
Which brings up another aspect to this, and that is, I am fortunate in that the people who I allow to speak into my life, which means that I can go to this person, tell them what I'm thinking, ask them to pray, ask them to see if they get a word from God, is my wife. Oh, my goodness, what a great benefit that is to me. But then there are other men who I know will tell me the truth as they see it. You know, they love me enough to be honest. They love me enough to say, no, Dave, I'm not feeling this one. And, what you learn from practice and maturity and walking is how to weigh that in, not let them make your decisions, because that's not fair to them, plus that's not their role, but let them speak into your process of making the decision. So that's another part of this of,
if you stay
in your lane, you got to find out what your lane is.
Yeah,
you know.
That is number one. You have to know what your lane is. And two, I think it is that, that you use God and Jesus are your number one. They are your mighty counselors.
Amen.
And so you use them and what they've given you in your heart as the guide. Now, people will speak into your life, and they may mean well, but sometimes they may not have the vision that God has put in your heart.
Amen.
And that is why it's so important to protect the vision God has given you.
So one of the techniques I use that I think is very effective is I don't go to them until I think I know. Then I go to them and say, what do you think? And I listen to them, and I take their input, and then I go back and reexamine it, and then eventually I decide, hey, this is where I want to go, and that's when I set my face.
And I think that's good. I think it's great to have people in your life that you trust so much, and they'll be honest whether they agree or not. I guess I've been such a loner with me and my kids that I do have friends that I go to trust their judgment. But I guess I've been, I don't know if this is good or bad, but I have always been that kind of person that this is what I feel like I'm going to do. And it really doesn't matter what you think about it. You can give me some advice.
No,
I don't need to go to you to
you
get permission.
That.
Yes.
But there's, we're all different.
It is. And I think that it's great to have friends that speak into your life and who you trust, and they will tell you the truth. And I do have friends like that, but I will say that our going to each other is a little bit different. We're not going to...
I'm not going to get an answer.
Right.
I'm going to get input.
Right.
And let me say this. Be careful who you choose. These are also friends who trust me.
Right.
And when I come back and say, no, I really don't. Okay, I hear you. I've thought about it. And I'm going to pay attention to this or that. But I still feel like I should move forward. These are friends who will go, Dave, we trust you.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're feeling, we'll support you.
And I have friends like that too, but I will say all of us, I have a group of girlfriends that I've had for, some of them range from the last 10 to 20 years. And it's not like when we go to each other, we're not asking each other's
permission
or anything. And I think you're saying the same thing. You're not asking them for permission or approval. What they are for me are soundboards. And that they give me feedback, good, had you considered this? They're not giving me their approval. I don't go for that. They're giving me what they hear.
And I know some of your friends. And also, I think, and this is common for both of us, these are spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who are in touch with their own personal relationship with God, who are walking the path, just
mm-hmm.
like we're walking
mm-hmm.
the path, who are learning just like we're learning. And I, be careful who you pick as counselors and, who you let speak, because there are some really big people out there who I wouldn't let them speak in my life. I don't care what their title is.
But
I don't mean that ugly.
Yeah.
They're just, I don't know them for one thing.
I feel like really sometimes we put And that's something in my life as I've gotten to this point, it's easier for me to put God in, not put him in his place, but see God for who he is, my everything, my all in life. And so sometimes when you are staying in your own lane, that is, learn to let him be the first person you go to. And then if, you know, sometimes other people will confirm what God is telling you without even you, you know, and that's happened many times in my life. Somebody has confirmed what I hear God saying without even me going to them for counsel. So be careful who you share, and I have to say it again, who you share your vision with. Because God has called you to a purpose. He hasn't called them. So they may not, it's just like us when you look outside. Well, we're looking outside now. We only see a fourth of everything that's around us. And it's a lot more.
There's more going on.
There's more going on. So you don't want to go to somebody who has a more limited vision than you do. They won't see all God has called you, because God has called us to the world.
Again, pick your counselors.
Pick those counselors
well.
Well, and always let God be the, his word be the final word, not theirs.
Amen. Absolutely, totally agree. We go at it a little different, but we end up at the same spot. You know, here's a good example, I think. His dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have had a few spiritual dreams in my life, and I mean literal dreams, you know, wake up going, wow, what was that about, you know, and think about them and go, okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Because I believe this was a spiritual dream, that this was you communicating to me through this image in this dream. And I've taken those things and thought about them, and usually I come up with my own interpretation.
Which is usually really good.
I will go, and I may find somebody that I know is skilled in this area.
That is good.
And go, hey, here's what happened. Here's the dream. Here's how I'm interpreting it. What do you think?
And that, I feel like,
that's a good example.
It is a good example, because there's some people skilled, like, you know, the same thing. And I'm not knocking for prophets or any of those with those titles. But be careful what other people speak into your life. There are some prophets I've met that have been, like, right on the money.
Yep.
But I have also met some that have spoken things that I'm like,
no, I don't think so.
I don't think so. You know, so be careful even with the prophets that you allow to speak into your life. If somebody is speaking negativity in your life, I'm not saying don't take that, don't whatever. I feel like as a prophet, you know, even, and a lot of people talk to, see, get prophetical things, but they should, a prophet, and I learned this in a school for prophecy, should really be cautious about what they're telling you, because their words,
mm-hmm,
are being spoken to your life.
Mm-hmm.
So they should not come to you with a lot of negativity. They should word it in a way, it still may be a little bit negative, but they word it in a way that encourages you to overcome.
And I've been with those people, and the good ones couch it and give it to you in a way that it, what they're saying is you might want to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're not being mean or ugly. But I also want to say this, and because I was in a very charismatic church at one time, not every word is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're in that situation, you have someone who comes and gives your church a word, remember, that word may not be for you specifically. It may be for 20 other people.
Right.
Or 1,000 other people.
And I've been,
and it may not be a word, you know, and you have to, that's when you go to the Lord and go, Lord, is this for me? Do I need to do something? Or do I need to change something? And listen to God. Meditate on it. And if it does, you know, our thing about dreams and words and thoughts is give it time.
Give it time. That
because
is the truth.
Go ahead and talk about that.
Well, I just feel like with prophetic words or just words somebody, because sometimes if you're in it, I guess both of us have been in very charismatic movements in Christianity, which is nothing wrong with that. Some people do not. But with words, I've received words that went to the body that did connect to me. And I felt like they were meant for me too, but I've also received word that I'm not sure if that was for me. So like you said, always pray and ask God, is this word for me? He will confirm it. And then the same thing with dreams. When you have a dream, a lot of times we don't remember our dreams. You dream something, you kind of, or it'll come back to you later, like, oh, I dreamed that. But when a dream is so vivid that it sticks to you, almost remember every portion of the dream when you wake up. Sometimes I really believe in dreams. The Lord said he gives us dreams and visions. So sometimes look into that, or it just won't go away. Like you think about
it. It keeps coming.
You need to check out the meaning of that dream. Because a lot of times,
you're still thinking about it.
Right. There is something there. So I do encourage people to be very aware of those dreams that just don't seem to let you go.
Yes.
Same thing with vision. It's the Lord giving you a vision, and it won't go away.
That may be God widening your lane.
Right.
Or he may be changing the direction of your lane a little bit. I'm going to use, us as an example without sharing any details because we're not going to share our vision yet because we're not sure of it. But we are contemplating a new endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
We both talked about it. We both looked at it and go, I don't know if I want to do that. That looks like a lot of work and time. But God just seems to he's not letting that one go. He keeps bringing it back. Really more for Linda than for me. And, of course, as her partner, if she feels God is leading her someplace, I'm going to support that and any way I can. But we're giving it time. We're going to give this one at least another 6 months before we really do anything. Now, we may do some homework. We may do some investigating and research. But we're not taking a step for at least 6 months, a real tangible, hard step. Because we do want to make sure, because for one thing, it'll be a lot of work. And that's okay. We're willing to work. Neither one of us is afraid of work. But we want to make sure this is something God is in.
And that's something I think sometimes when you feel like God is calling you to something, and I've done this frequently in my older years. Now, in my younger years, I have to admit that if I felt like he was calling me, I just jumped and went for it. I've always been like, Lord, here I'm going.
Sometimes that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know?
But now in my more mature years, I do what I call I'm mellowing on that. I am
You came up with a new word. Can I share it?
Yeah.
I love Linda. She comes up with these words that are close.
But they don't really.
They're close to real words, and as soon as she uses them, I know exactly what she means, but they're not real words. One of them, she is melanating.
I'm melanating on that. So it's never be.
And I knew exactly what she meant. Excuse me. I interrupt you. But
no,
that's
am melanating on. Sometimes I even say marinating. I'm marinating on that.
Yeah.
I'm just allowing God to work in me, to show me how, if he wants me to do it, how I would do it, and what he would want me to do. So I'll take 5 or 6 months to allow that vision, that dream to unfold in me.
Amen.
And so I caution people, like, if you're being called to something and you know, like, oh, my God, this is really big, are you calling me to that? He usually is. He will also unfold the dream in you. So when I say I'm marinating on something, I'm allowing him to unfold the dream.
Amen. I've got a new word for you, percolating.
I'm percolating. Okay.
That's percolating right now.
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm percolating.
I think God told you that one. Percolating.
Yeah. We're percolating on a couple of things.
I'll give another example is I'm about to go back to school. I'm really excited. This has been has been in my heart since I was 23 years old and had to go to work because I didn't have time to go to school. You know, I had to make money and support a son and so on and so on. So I've never gotten my bachelor's degree, and I'm about to get started, and I am really looking forward to that. And so that's a dream that's been 40 years in the making.
Wow.
And that's okay.
It is that staying in your lane, sometimes God broadens the lane.
Amen.
Sometimes he narrows it.
Yeah.
Sometimes staying in your lane, there's some curves in it, or you may have to go back a few steps.
Here's the secret, and we started with this, and I think we'll probably end with it again. You got to find out what your lane is.
You have
you
to
know,
find
and stay
that.
In touch with the Lord. We had a podcast a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, actually, about, you know, really listening and staying in touch, in tune, in harmony, whatever you want to call it. And we offered techniques of how to do that because that's where the answer is. It's his vote that counts.
His vote.
Everybody else's vote, not so much.
Not so much. I think the one thing, like if we were doing steps, staying in your lane would be one, knowing what your lane is, like you said.
Right.
Two, and we always say that, and actually this would be number one, would be first connect, plug in to the source. You got to plug into your source. If you are not plugged into God, everything is just so unsurmountable. If you're overwhelmed, you don't know what to do, you're overclouded, and I think that's why there's so much anxiety and confusion in our world, is because there's so much. When you plug into God, He helps bring the vision and the focus in the picture so that you can just focus
and
in on what he wants.
To you in
and
ways
he will
you never
speak
thought
to
of,
you.
But as you stay in touch, you'll start to see him all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you will see him in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be watching a movie and you'll hear him go, there, that's what I'm talking about. There's an example. Oh, okay, I get it. You know, and I love that process where God becomes so much a part of my life. I'll see him in a billboard. I know it sounds goofy, but I do.
In a song I'm listening to on the radio, there'll be somehow the words of the song will focus in, will be downloaded. I call it downloading into my mind. I'll focus in on a very, very pertinent phrase that will help me and kind of unfolding whatever it is I'm trying to unfold at that time. So plugging into God, knowing what your lane is, and then walking in divine timing. So going your way in a time that is divine. Sometimes we want to move faster than God wants us to. Sometimes he's percolating us, if I can point it. Sometimes he's preparing us. So moving in divine timing, and also just asking, is it time to move now? Should I take a step now? Being so dependent on him that he tells you, not everybody else, he tells you when to move.
Well, and here's another technique of finding your lane, and it's based on Gideon and the fleece.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're considering a fleece for our new endeavor, and that is to put it out there, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if God's in it, da-da-da-da-da, if he isn't, da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's wrong. I mean, you have to be careful because the Bible says we're not to test God. But it's not I'm not testing God. I'm not telling God he's got to do something. I'm simply saying, Lord, will you confirm this?
Yeah.
Through this process? Because you want what you want.
Yeah.
You know, here's the other thing about staying in your lane. And I know it sounds contradictory, but sometimes you don't know. All you know, I think of a swimmer. And, you know, when you see the contest, they all have their lane. And if they get out of their lane, they get disqualified. I'm thinking of a swimmer, but I think of a swimmer, and I'm thinking, yeah, Lord, I'm in my lane, but I only know about three strokes ahead where this lane's headed, you know. But I'm staying in this lane. You know, I'm going to trust you that you'll show me when I need to know.
And he says that in the word, I'll guide your footsteps.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He will guide your footsteps. And so some of that is he shows us what we're prepared to receive at that moment. So that's the part of the divine timing. He shows you the steps that you are prepared to receive. And sometimes he's preparing us for 5 or 10 steps down the road.
It is.
So be open to his preparation and trusting.
Absolutely. Thank you. You know, I also thought of a couple of things where, well, you talk about staying in your lane. Let's take some real God examples of staying in your lane. What about Jesus?
Mm.
Now, Jesus could have come to earth as a king,
mm-hmm.
but he came as a servant.
Mm-hmm.
Then he could have easily chosen to become part of the Sanhedrin and the what are the other words I'm thinking? Pharisees.
Pharisees and Sadducees.
You know, and he could have easily chosen to be a leader, and he could have easily, as a human being, said, well, you know, this is God's will. I can affect more people. I could change the church, and I can do other things. But he said, no, this is why I came. And he is our, I love Linda's word, way shower. He is our example. Boy, you talk about somebody who stayed in his lane. He didn't get sucked into the bureaucracy. He didn't get sucked into the political. He didn't get sucked into this or that. He stayed focused on what his mission was, which was to die on a cross, but also to set an example for us of how to stay in our lane and not be, you know, it's funny. He addressed the hypocrites of his time. But he didn't spend a lot of time on it.
No.
Because it's like, it wasn't important. He said, I didn't come to minister to you guys anyway. I came to minister to people who were willing to listen. I came to the sick, you know, spiritually and physically. And that's, I'm going to stay in my life.
I think that, you know, because there would have been a lot of naysayers. There were a lot of naysayers.
Sure. Well, yeah, they killed it.
They killed it, yeah. So I guess there was a lot of naysayers, but there were a lot of people trying to speak into his life and how protective he was of the word that he, any word that he received other than from the Lord. He knew that. So that is the perfect example of watching people speaking into your life. You know, it's almost like you have to protect the vision like a baby.
We talked about, I think it was just last week, John, I think it's chapter 9, Jesus says, I do nothing except that what the Father shows me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now that's standing in your lane.
That's it. And that's allowing the vision to percolate.
Yes.
So
yes.
He was saying, what the Father tells me, what the Father shows me, that is what I do.
And the reason he did that is because he wanted people to see the Father.
Right.
Through him.
Through him.
He said, if you see me, you see the Father. The reason he could say that is because I only do those things the Father tells me to do.
And he was saying that to say to us.
Yes, amen.
If someone sees you, do they see the Father?
Ouch. You know, and God comes in and convicts me, or the Holy Spirit goes, that wasn't Christ-like. They didn't see Jesus in that.
Yeah. It's okay, because we mess up. I mess up. We all do. But, you know, get back on.
Yeah. And we've talked about this. Don't wallow in that.
Mm-hmm.
Take the instruction from the Holy Spirit and say, thank you. I repent. I will do my best not to do that again. Now, let's go on.
Let's move on. So, it's that, and then I think of Paul, how focused he had to be to complete, sometimes in prison, not leaving prison or walking out of a prison, how he heard from God, and even most of the trying times of his time. Well, I'm sure there were many people like, you're crazy for this or whatever.
Yeah. Isn't this the guy that used to persecute us?
Right.
You know, isn't this the guy who was part of the stoning of Stephen? Isn't this the guy who led everybody and chased us down and hunted us down? And he's going, yeah, but God's called me to do this.
And how focused he was once he was called how dedicated he was.
Let's take Peter.
Yes.
He was called to the Gentiles when nobody else was called to the Gentiles. You think the other 11 were going, well, wait a minute, I don't know about this. Yeah, I mean, there's scriptures.
Right. This isn't anything
we don't eat pork.
Yeah, and we don't talk to those people.
Right.
Why are you talking to those people? We wouldn't do this in our church. Oh, those people are coming to our church.
Yeah. Oops. Think about it, folks. You know, this is the conversation I have with my older brother quite often, and that is we are learning to better apply the Word of God and without prejudices. And I'm not talking about ethnicity. I'm talking about, are you loving everybody?
Right.
Regardless of color.
Sexual orientation.
Well, yep, you're still supposed to love them, folks. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to be part of it, but we're supposed to love them. That's what the Bible says.
That would be, they were so focused on what God had called them to do that they allow those things, those cultural belief systems to...
Well, they didn't allow.
Right. They didn't allow those to be dictated, or they allowed them to be dissolved so that they could reach more.
And they broke the walls.
And they broke. So if you are called to be a way shower...
You may, and trust me, this is not a fun thing.
No.
My favorite verse in the Bible is Philippians 3:10. It says, that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Peter and Paul knew the fellowship of his suffering. You know what that was? Rejection.
Yes.
They had to contend with people rejecting them because they were staying in their lane.
And I'm going to be honest and share that I have felt that in Christianity, because I am probably more of a non-traditional Christian.
No.
Yeah. And so I do have, in love with all my heart, gay friends, white friends. I have a really very vast array of
friends. Trust me, she has a very
eclectic group of friends who I love. But not only that, I am a very eclectic person. I probably do some things that
keep going,
that other people may not do.
We're good. We've seen this before, guys. We have a technical situation, but we learn that we just keep going, and we'll solve this in a minute.
Stop. I have to use the
No, we're fine, sweetie. I trust you.
Okay, well, just go ahead.
Okay, I just lost my co-host. I'm not sure. I know why. But while we're here, you know, let's keep talking. Here's another example. We'll talk about standing in your lane. Let's take God himself. And let's think about what happened in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam and Eve sinned, then God said at that time that there would be a person who bruised the head of Satan, and that Satan would bruise their heel. He knew at that time, in that place, that Jesus was coming. And then he stayed in his lane for 2,000 years till Jesus was born. You know, you talk about somebody who set a plan and said, I'm going to stick with it. Let's talk about God. You know, God does that before anybody else. All right, folks, we're getting there. Hang in.
Yeah.
Hopefully we haven't lost you or anything else.
And if
we have a computer issue.
Yeah, we're having a computer issue. If we did, we hope you'll come back when we reconnect. Because sometimes as we're doing this, we're learning and going as we do. So staying in your lane.
As far as I know, we never lost you.
Okay. Sometimes we are just.
We'll listen to this later. No, for ourselves.
Yeah. Sometimes I just feel like God took this program pretty much and took it the way he wanted to go. Yeah. There were some points that I'm going to tell you the truth that I didn't feel like I had in me, but he just took the program. But sometimes staying in your lane is being open to receiving. What
so we're standing in our lane, even though we had a computer glitch.
Yes. Even in the midst of this. And we probably did, but it's all good. We just ask that you stay on or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe not. Maybe
welcome
it all worked out.
To non-professionals doing podcasts.
Yes. And we don't profess to be. What we do profess is that God gives us the word and we give it to you.
Right.
Now, we don't profess to be the best professionals in that.
But we're getting better.
We're getting a lot better every time.
Well,
anyway.
We have 16 minutes. And I certainly don't want to cut this short. I think we could go on and on. Because, you know, but let's start to recap.
Mm-hmm.
Before you can stay in your lane, you got to find out what it is.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is connect. Spend time with God. Ask him to show you. And, you know, he has a tendency to do it a little at a time, at least in my experience. Now, occasionally I'll get a big vision.
Mm-hmm.
I had a big vision 40 years ago that I think God is starting to show me what that vision really is, and that was 40 years ago. And I'm not going to share that right now, maybe another time. I had the vision about one day I'd like to get my bachelor's in something. Well, not only am I going to get my bachelor's, but now because my career is as good as it can get, a bachelor's degree isn't going to make it better. I get to get a bachelor's degree in whatever I want, which is, in this case, going to be biblical studies. And I'm looking, I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm going to learn stuff I've been wanting to learn. So be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you only know the next step. That's okay. Frankly, I've gotten to a place where I really only want to know the next step. And I'll tell you why. Because then it really becomes a fun adventure.
Right.
Because, you get to the place where you go, I don't know what, I know I'm supposed to do this. I don't know what's going to come after that. And you know what? I'm just going to trust the Lord and enjoy this step.
Mm-hmm.
And when that next step comes, we'll deal with that. And life in Christ becomes quite the adventure. It really can and does. I think we're experiencing it to some degree, and I think we're going to keep experiencing it, and we're going to get even better. They're going, okay, all right. I'm taking the next step. This should be interesting.
Yeah. And actually, for the last 8 or 9 years, that has been my life. Like, okay, I'm going to take this step. I'm not sure where it's going to lead, but I'm going to trust you, Lord.
And see, all my steps led me to the perfect helpmate.
Oh.
And I mean that.
Thank you.
Steps that I've, and missteps even.
Missteps too.
There's a country song out there I love. Thank God for the crooked road that led me straight to you.
Oh,
there you go. I love that song.
I feel the same way. Yes. Sometimes, I will say now, I've fallen on my face a whole bunch of times. I will admit that. I will say that since I've come to Christ, it has been an adventure.
Here's the good thing about staying in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to drift out of your lane, God will show you.
He does. He pushes you right.
He'll bring you right back.
Yeah.
If you stay in touch and you stay connected. I will share this. I don't think this is any great secret. I call Linda the cosmic hippie?
Mm-hmm.
I call Linda the cosmic hippie. I'm kind of the anchor.
Yeah.
I'm pretty straightforward, kind of conservative, walk the line, biblically, theologically, et cetera, et cetera. Linda, you never know what she's going to be reading. But here's what I've learned. I've learned to relax. And here's why. Because Linda is connected to God. And I know that if she starts to get too crazy, the Holy Spirit will pull her back, put her back in her lane. And I trust God for that. Now, we talk about things and we share ideas and we influence each other.
Definitely.
But she answers to God long before she answers to me. And vice versa. So don't get that wrong about the submission thing. We'll do a thing on that one these days. We did one, but we'll do it again. And how that really works. I owe my life to Linda. Linda owes her life to me. That's biblical. And so we do check and all that. But I have learned to give her a long line. I have this picture where I'm the anchor. The rope's tied to me. Boy, she's out there swinging who knows where. But she brings all that knowledge and learning and reading and studying and gives it back to the Lord, and the Lord uses it. And I'm convinced of that, and I'm okay with that. I'm not afraid of that anymore. And there was a time when I was a little bit like,
what?
You're reading what? You're studying what? And then I realized it's okay. She's just studying. She's learning. She's growing. If you're going to go and get a master's degree in business administration, well, no, that's not a good example. If you're going, you're going to get a bachelor's degree in business administration, guess what? You still got to take English, math, and history, and Western Civ, and literature. And the reason is because you need to be well-rounded. Well, Linda's getting very well-rounded. I'm okay with that. Because she takes all that and comes back to the Lord. And she's not reading, studying, or listening to anything that isn't being filtered through her connection with the Lord. And I trust her with that. And there's no reason not to. Hope that makes sense. And for you guys that are out there, married, connected, whatever the right word is, with some of those free spirits, as I call them, hang in there.
Hang in there.
Ask the Lord to help, to guide, to lead, and listen, and be open-minded, because here's one example. I'm just going to give one example. Karma. Karma, folks. Oh, my. Oh, that's a Middle Eastern thing. That comes from Buddha, or I think it does, actually. You can't use that word. Oh, really? So the Bible doesn't say you reap what you sow? Oh, excuse me. The Bible doesn't say as you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Is that not karma? It's just a word. Now, I know there are people who disagree with me, but frankly, it's just a word. So you use karma, I quote a Bible scripture. We end up in the same spot, folks. And so I'm learning to open my heart and my mind to think a little. And it's called applying the Word of God in reality without prejudice. But when I apply the Word of God in reality without prejudice, karma's not a bad word. In fact, karma's right in two. As you sow, so shall you reap. That's biblical. Just an example. I can get on my soapbox. And the only reason I can get on my soapbox is because I'm still, it's become a real big thing for me to rethink things and go, wait a minute, what's the Word say about this? What principle in the Word applies or doesn't apply? If it doesn't apply, then I back off. But if it does apply, I embrace it. I pull it in and I go, I'm good with that.
I think it's the vision Peter saw that, when he saw all those fish unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, if we're going to be, we have to have a world view. And so I need to know a little bit what a Buddhist thinks, what mm-hmm. a Muslim thinks. I can't even talk to them if I'm so shut off by my thought processes. So I do. Of course, I've read the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, I've not read all of that, but I've read portions of it. And I have an interest in world religion and world views. So, I mean, that is just me.
Well,
that's my lane.
We're supposed to minister to whoever comes in our path.
Right.
I don't know who God's bringing in our path. And with you around, I really don't know.
I don't know either, but I'm open to
a Wiccan next week. You know, I don't need to know everything about Wiccan or Wicca or whatever it is, but I need to be able to talk to them, hear them, and share my side, you know, without condemning, without beating them up and saying, okay, I hear you. You know, that's similar to our Christian principle of the
right.
Christian principle.
And
now we can connect, and I believe that we win people by love.
I truly believe that, and I believe that's our lane, to love.
There you go.
Unconditionally.
That's your main lane.
That's my main lane.
That's the center of the line.
And to love somebody, when you love somebody, you have to know something about them to love them.
Connect.
We have to find that place to connect. And by the way, I have had a Wiccan on the show. You can go
back. I
know,
that's why I brought it up. Long before I was in the picture.
Long before, but, you know, I would be open to speaking. I don't have to agree with you, but I have to be able to show you that my God offers love.
Amen.
And we're going to offer,
we're going to give that gift to them. Well,
right.
They're not going to accept the gift if they think their strings attached.
Right.
If they think, well, if I don't accept this gift, they're going to be mad at me. If I don't accept this gift, you know, da, 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 da. So, you know,
So, you know, and for a lot of Christians, which may, my lane is not your lane. So for a lot of Christians, you know, you may not speak to a wicked or a transgender person. I'm not knocking you
for
that.
Apparently, it is our lane.
Yes.
Because even transgenders we talk to.
Yes. So, you know, it's not everybody's lane. So you stay in your lane. Know that this is my lane.
Yeah.
And I'm
okay.
Open into it. And I, what I feel like God has placed me on the earth to do is to love unconditionally.
Here's the thing. There is a criteria.
Mm-hmm.
It's called God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm learning to do is take God's Word and apply it to a situation and go, does this violate God's Word? Yes or no? If it does, then I back off and go, no, I'm sorry. I love you, but can't go there. If it doesn't, then I don't care what it looks like. I embrace it
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm.
And I could give other examples, but we're not going to go there today because we don't have time.
Right. No, we're just saying this is my lane. This, hopefully.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of it is Dave's lane. Some of it.
I guess we both have a lane together, baby.
We have a wider lane. We have a lane together, and we have a lane that he kind of like, okay. I'm staying here. I'll see you when you get back.
Yeah, and I trust God to do and guide. And then I have to, as the spiritual authority, I have to, you know, be willing to bend according to God's word and his input to me. Now, if Linda were to get into something that I really, really, really thought is totally against a God principle, I'd say something. And she knows that.
Yeah.
I would hope she'd do the same thing for me.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. For me, my Christianity is foundational,
mm-hmm.
but it's very eclectic. But it's the foundation. My connection with Father God and Jesus is foundational.
I go back to, and we're going to share this because this is really our life,
mm-hmm.
if you think about it. We live our lives, and we say this to each other regularly, on two main commandments. And this is right from Jesus' words. When the disciples asked him what are the greatest commandments, he said the first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul. Number one, there's your foundation.
That's my foundation.
The second one is likened to the first one, is love your neighbor as yourself.
And that's
period.
My foundation.
Period. It doesn't say if.
Yeah.
It says love.
Yeah.
And, you know, there you go. That's my lane.
That's my lane.
Ultimately, that's my lane.
I feel like that is what he's called me to do, to love people for who they are.
We'll do that through our ministries. We'll do that, and I'll do it at my vocation. You know, God will give us umpteen tools. But ultimately, that's my lane. My lane is to love. Like
that's
Jesus
my
said.
Lane. I think that's a good place to end.
I think you're right. I will add one more thing. This is for, and I hate to break the moment, but I'm going to do it. And that is, we are about to embark on some interviews.
Mm-hmm.
We have one coming up April 29th. And of course, we'll have a little bit ahead of time. And then I think we're going to schedule a few more so you guys don't have to just listen to us every Sunday.
That'll be good.
and the goal of this program is to get everybody to think.
Yes.
And so, trust me, these may not be, quote, Christians.
There you go.
But we're going to talk to them, and we're going to listen to them, and we're going to love them.
And learn. And think ourselves.
And find that they're doing, fully and totally agree with, they're just using different words.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm finding a lot. All right. You want me to close in prayer?
Sure.
I'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for bringing it to Linda and I. That we might grow, that we might hear it out of our own mouths,
mm-hmm.
so we have no excuse, you know. And I don't want an excuse, Lord. I want to do it.
Mm.
I want to walk in it. Help us. Help those who are listening and who will listen to this podcast. Help our friends. Help the church walk in their calling. each and every person, Lord. And I pray that your spirit would come to them and help them and that they would accept it joyously, be abandoned to your will. I ask that for me, I ask that for Linda, and I ask that for everybody, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.